Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and the Bible said that the Spirit of God stirred in his heart on the Lord's day. I'm glad we can go to church and experience the Spirit of God on the Lord's day. That ought to remind us this is not our day that is set aside, but it is the Lord's day. And you know, it does my heart good to see the church filled this morning, and I'm glad many of you have recognized the importance of the Lord's day. You know, there's nothing wrong with having fun and enjoying things in this life, but we better prioritize the Lord's day. It should be great priority in our life and in our home. And I sure am thankful we got a good church that we can go to this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. If you're there, say amen today. The Bible said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people, they took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. When they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. The Bible said in verse number 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked Him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. He was accused of the chief priests and elders, and He answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto Him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Now, verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you, and so we thank you for this time together today. Lord, I sure do need you to help me preach this morning. If it be one here lost and undone in their sin, I pray that you'd send the Holy Ghost, convict them and show them their condition. And Lord, I pray that you'd let preaching be easy today. Help me, I sure do need you. Forgive me of where I failed you. In Christ's name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I don't know if you noticed the text verse, but in verse number 22, Pilate asked this question that have stood through the questions of all time. What shall I do then with Jesus? Now I want to preach on this simple gospel message this morning on what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? I want to say there is the importance of the question. Because the Bible said, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to say there's a great importance of the question. Matter of fact, it's so important it depends upon where you and I will spend eternity. We hear a lot of liberal preachers today not saying much about hell nor heaven. But the Bible says there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It's amazing that the love of God loved us enough that He put His Son on an old rugged cross to die in our place, that we may go free and enjoy our great home in heaven. Now, in this Bible question, not only is it a question of great importance, but it is a question of great impact. Matter of fact, there's never been a man like Jesus that has ever impacted so many in this day and hour that we live. And Jesus is in the forgiving business. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. We must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. I hear a lot of people saying, well, preacher, I'm a good person. But the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Nicodemus, one of the greatest people in the Bible as far as religion was concerned. He came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. And Jesus immediately turned around and he said, ye must be born again. Now, if we must be born again, it is the only way that we can go to heaven. If you took a survey in America this morning, many would say that you had to do good and you had to work and you had to belong to this and that. But honey, let me tell you, there's one way to the gate this morning, and that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. There's one road that goes to heaven, and it is called straight. And it is narrow, and few be there that find it. And it is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what will you do with Jesus? First of all, you'll notice in Matthew 27, there are some Bible characters, and they all made a difference with Jesus. They all experienced different statements of what they said about Jesus. Matter of fact, you'll notice, first of all, there's Judas, and it shows me that some folks discount Jesus, or some folks disvalue Jesus. The Bible said in Matthew 26 and verse number 14, Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests, and they said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him, or deliver Jesus unto you. And they made a covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Mamas and daddies, young people, be careful not to put your price to the devil of what you'll take for Jesus, because the devil will be sure that you get your price. The Bible said that Judas, he discounted or he disvalued Jesus. That reminds me of the day and hour that we live. There's not many people think a lot about Jesus except about silver. But honey, let me tell you, you can't put a price on the Lamb of God. Could you put a price on your salvation this morning?
Could you put a price on getting to go to heaven? I'm going to tell you, you could have all the money in this world and still not buy your way into heaven. But God thought enough of you. He gave you His Son that you wouldn't have to think cheap of Him. Matter of fact, we ought to thank a whole lot more of Him than money. And we ought to thank a whole lot more of Him than people. And a whole lot more of Him than problems. There's nobody like Jesus. And Judas didn't know what to do with Jesus, so he sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. Be careful, you'll sell Him out where you live. Be careful, you'll sell Him out where you go to church. People so afraid they're going to offend anybody but God in the day and hour we live. But honey, let me tell you, America better get concerned about offending God Almighty this morning. It doesn't matter whether you're offended or I'm offended, but it does matter if God is offended. And God's been offended in America today. And we better be careful or we'll sell Him out for 30 pieces of silver. Don't put your price to the devil for Jesus. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to love Jesus and serve Him long as my wife comes to church. What if she quits coming to church? I wouldn't put a price on it. The devil will be sure that you get it. I hear a lot of people saying, well, I'll come to church and raise my children as long as my husband will come to church. Well, I want to say, don't give the devil a price. He'll be sure that he'll pay you off in silver. And don't name your price, because you may get it. Just love Jesus and accept Him for who He is and what He's done for us. You see, in this Bible, said in Matthew 27, and simply verse number 3, in this text, Judas, which had betrayed Him. Watch this. When he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Isn't that just like life? Whatever that we trade for Jesus, very seldom do we get to spend it. The Bible said that he still had the 30 pieces of silver that he sold Jesus for. I know a lot of people that sold Jesus out, but they never did get to spend what they took for Him. I know a lot of people that sold Jesus, but they never did get to enjoy what they got for Him. I won't say that again. I know a lot of people that sold out Jesus, but they never did get to enjoy what they got for Him. A lot of folks sell Jesus out for this and that. But I've noticed this, the devil is a liar and he's the father of it. And you know, he took Jesus when Jesus had been in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible said then he was tempted of the devil, and the devil took him up on a pinnacle. And this is what the Bible said. And in a moment of time, he showed him all of his kingdoms. It don't take long for the devil to give you all he's got. But you can serve Jesus a lifetime and you'll never find out all that He's got. Because He's wonderful and He's got everything that we need this morning. You'll find out some folks, they disvalue Jesus. And then the second character, there's Barabbas, comes on the scene. In Matthew 27 and verse number 16, they then had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now, he was a notable man. Everybody in the town knew something about Barabbas. When they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Now, as far as we know, Barabbas dishonored Jesus. Could you imagine, matter of fact, that cross that they'd done put outside, one of those was Barabbas' cross. Bible said he was a murderer and he was a noted criminal. Everybody knew about Barabbas because he was on one of the most wanted posters. Can you imagine when that jailer come into the jail that day and was fixing to lead Barabbas out to put him on a cross, and when he stuck those keys in the door and he heard those keys rattling, he thought it was the last day, the last time. And it very well could have been without the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt when they opened up the cell and told Barabbas, said, "Barabbas, today's your day." He said, "Yeah, I know. I've been dreading going to that cross and dying for my sin." They said, "No, Barabbas, it's not what you think." Said, "There's a man called Jesus that took your place this morning." Boy, there's a lot of people that they go through life nonchalant. Honey, don't be like Barabbas. Don't take it nonchalant. Realize that God took your place and He opened up your cell door and He gave you a chance. And far as we know, Barabbas never believed in God. I know a lot of people that not only discredit Jesus, but they dishonor Jesus. I want to say today, congregation, that Jesus died for every one of us here this morning. Some of you are getting older in life. I wish it would dawn on you, unless you're born again, you're going to die and go to hell in your sin. I'm not asking you and I'm not judging you whether you're a good person, because the Bible doesn't judge me and judge you. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Oh my, the Lord took the place for Barabbas and He took your place. You know, there's a man I've been inviting to our church. Now, I've been trying to, I'm a tight preacher. I'm not real pushy with people. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But I sure do like putting the water in front of them. It seems like everybody's given up on this man. This man, he's got a big addiction problem of alcohol. And I want to say something. If he comes to our church, hold your tongue, amen. If he smells like alcohol, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be smelling a lot more than that. Honey, if I couldn't preach over a little bit of alcohol, I ought to get out of the preaching business. And when he comes in and sits down, if he's wobbling a little bit, you remember this, the Holy Ghost can sober him up and the Word of God can reach his heart. And when he comes to the house of God, you ought to love on him. Matter of fact, I told him, if you'd come to Liberty Baptist Church, you may be surprised who you find there and how much they love you at that place. Can I get a witness this morning? This is what I want to say, sir. I come to stop to tell you today that I found out something that you may not know. There's a man died for you a few years ago. Died for me. Yeah. Not talking about a man that just gave you something or done something kind to you, but I found out, sir, there's a man died for you. Well, preacher, what you mean he died for me? Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. You know, a lot of times we wonder, does people love us? How much more could Jesus love us than to die for us? That's a lot of love to me. When he ought to killed me, he saved me. That's amazing to me how good God has been to us. And so we find out there's a lot of people, they dishonor Jesus. And then I want to say, thirdly, there's a Bible character called Pilate. The Bible said in Matthew 27 and 22, Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Judas discounted him. Barabbas dishonored him. But I believe Pilate, like so many people, they're deceived by him. What do you mean by that? Not that Jesus would ever say anything not so, but I think a lot of people don't understand who Jesus is. Look what he said. He made a statement right here. Matthew 27, 22. Pilate said to them, "What should I do then with Jesus?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And here's my thought in verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather atonement was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. I've noticed something. When blood gets enclosed, water don't get out the blood. Pilate was so deceived by the devil because he thought that he could wash off the blood of Jesus by water. But honey, I come to tell you today, that cross that Jesus died on and shed His blood, you'll not wash it away by water. It'll be on you judgment day, and you'll stand there and give an account of what you've done. That fella this week said he had a life change and changed his name. When he stands before God, God ain't going to know him by that name. God's going to know him by the name he is born with. And we all going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of our sin. And honey, there's a lot of people that downplay the blood of Jesus and they're so deceived. They think this thing is a game. They think they live in this life and just die and wake up no place. But there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. Don't you die and go to hell in your sin. You'll burn for an eternal world. There's a lot of folks think they'll take the blood of Jesus and just wash it off and not be guilty. Let me tell you something. He died for every one of us. So you have an option whether to come to God by the blood of His Son or to reject it like Pilate did, and you'll die and go to hell in your sin. And so we see that many in the Bible, what will you do with Jesus? I want to say that Judas discounted him. Barabbas dishonored him. Pilate was so deceptive. But then look at Pilate's wife in verse 19. There's some folks that are disturbed by him. I love it when God gets in the bed with you. Matthew 27, verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, Pilate's wife, sent unto him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. There are some folks that are disturbed by him. I sure am glad that Christ disturbed me one day, got right in the bed with me and laid down with me and begin to nudge me about my sins. Matter of fact, the stiller I got, the louder he got. Can I get a witness? There's a lot of folks disturbed by him. I'd like to say this. That's the Holy Spirit's job to disturb you. I've seen a lot of people get faithful, come to church till God go to dealing with them. Then they get disturbed about their condition. Then they'll lay out of church. And then they'll try to come back in. But let me tell you, the best way to handle your disturbed condition is to come to Jesus. Come to Him by faith and He'd save you. And He would in no wise cast you out today. What this lady did not know was God was doing her a favor, disturbing her with a dream. Let her know that Jesus was real. Matter of fact, she said, do nothing to this just man. She realized Jesus wasn't an ordinary man. Don't die and go to hell in your sin. Yesterday, I'd got a call from Brother Alan Kurt. He said, would you pray for Isaac, Pastor? Said, last night, Isaac got under deep conviction, and he's woke up this morning troubled. We prayed for Isaac yesterday, and last night, I'd laid down in my bed. My phone went off, and it was around 10. I seen Brother Allen's name, and I picked up, and Isaac said, Brother Ken, I just got saved. You say, why'd you say that? Because there's a lot of people disturbed by Jesus. But the thing to do is not try to hide your sin and keep your sin, but take them unto God. Because He'd save you from your sin this morning.
What will you do with Jesus? We see that Judas discounted him. Barabbas dishonored him. Pilate was so deceptive because of him. Thought he could wash the blood off with water. Pilate's wife was disturbed by him. But I love this next Bible character appears in this text. He's in Matthew 27:27. There's Simon. Some delight in him. The Bible said, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus in the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spit upon him, took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And here it is. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. He carried the cross after Jesus. Matter of fact, if you'll study just a little bit here about Simon, you'll notice that he had some children in the New Testament, and one's name was Rufus. There, as Jesus was carrying his cross, they grabbed Simon and they laid upon him the cross of the Lord Jesus. Simon did not reject that cross. He did not throw that cross away. But there, he realized that he would bury that load after the Lord Jesus Christ. When he got a hold of that cross, it taught him so many things. And it teaches you and I so many things when a heavy cross is laid upon us for Jesus. Matter of fact, I'm so concerned. You'll never be used by God till you learn to carry that old rugged cross. That cross brought him low. It was a heavy cross. Now notice when those crosses are put upon us, it brings us low and it humbles us. I'm better preacher. I'm a better daddy. I'm a better husband this morning because I've had a cross laid upon my life. It humbles me. It humbles me. I tell you another thing about that cross when they laid it on Simon. A lot of you say, well, preacher, I don't understand why this heavy cross has been put on me. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing it'll do. It'll bring you closer to Jesus than anything else can ever happen to you. When hard times come and there's a cross laid upon you, it'll get you closer to Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, if you want to find Jesus and you want to find out where He's working at, go down to the hospitals. Go down to the funeral homes. There you'll find Jesus being exactly what He said He'd be, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We find Simon. They laid up on him the cross in Matthew 27. And that lets me know that some people, they delight in him. No, I don't like the cross, but I'll be honest with you. I sure do enjoy the fellowship with Jesus when it's put on me. There's nobody like the Lord that'll walk through this life with you. As a Christian this morning as I close, what would you do without the Lord when hard times come? Simon found out, I've noticed this about crosses, they're all heavy. They all weight us down and nobody wants to carry it. But it does us good. Matter of fact, it changed his life. I preached in my thought on a Father's Day one day. Simon, as he had them two children of Rufus and Alexander, no doubt they'd probably never been saved or been in the New Testament church unless that cross was put on their life. Let me tell you what you might ought to thank God for. That cross that come by and was laid on your life one day that got you closer to Jesus than anything else ever could. My goodness, I sure am glad there's some people that delight in Jesus. And then I close. Turn to the parallel gospel, and I want to use this because it's my favorite text on Calvary.
in Luke 23, you'll notice that some are disturbed by Him. Some delight in Him. But there's also some that deny Him. In Luke 23 and 33, the Bible said, when they were come to the place that's called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted His raiment and they cast lots. The Bible said in verse 39, that one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on Him, saying, if Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. There's people here today that deny Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus may allow the cross to be put in your life, not to take you from God, but to bring you to God. Hear this thief. Can you imagine being that close to heaven and dying and going to hell in your sins? He was right by the door of heaven and He didn't access it. He stood by Jesus Christ on the cross and He denied Him. But I close this sermon, this last point. Not only is there some that deny Him, but I sure am glad there's some that desire Him. In Luke 23 and verse number 40, the Bible said, but the other answering rebuked Him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Let me share if you'd come. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now verse 42, the most wonderful statement that this thief has ever made is what he said in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, I love what He said, verily or surely, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This text tells me something this morning. Number one, this thief, he called upon God and the Lord saved him. He believed in Jesus. What you're going to do with Jesus Christ? You're just going to walk through this world and you've heard sermon after sermon about Jesus? Are you going to be like many of these Bible characters and you just do nothing with the opportunity? Or will you be like this old thief and desire Him? Would you be like Simon and delight in Him? Today could be your day. Lord, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. Now, look.